And we're in a series called Devoted. And the word of the year that Pastor Greg, as he has prayed and fasted for our church community, what is the word? It's devoted. And the specific picture that the Lord has given Pastor Greg is actually of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And if you're like, what in the world's a tabernacle and what in the world's the Old Testament? The first 39 books that we have in the scriptures here in the Bible, the actual presence of the living God came down and lived among the people of God as they traveled. And in their tabernacle, they had everyday things, bowls, they had different, there was a meat fork. I was doing some research on the tabernacle and the instruments used. And when those things were used in the tabernacle, they became devoted to the Lord and they were set apart. And so the picture that Pastor Greg has for us this year as a church is, what would it look like for us to be devoted to the Lord? Not just in 2025, but just ongoing in devoted to the Lord. And specifically this morning, what does it look like for us to be devoted to the Lord in prayer? As we are people who want to follow after Jesus, what does it look like for us to be devoted to the Lord in prayer? And if you're new here, I want to let you know, we don't do this all morning, but I'm going to ask everyone who is able, if you would please stand as we read our primary text for this morning. We do that as a tradition to honor the word of God. And so we're going to read Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can open those up. They will also be here on the screen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you this morning and we ask that in everything that we do, that we could be devoted to Jesus, that we could be devoted to you in the word, we could be devoted to you in prayer with everything that we have and all that we are, God, that our lives would be devoted to our King and our Lord. And so, Lord, as we continue to look at your word this morning, I pray you would speak specifically and individually to our hearts. And I also pray that you would speak collectively to us as Zoe Church. Even those who are watching online who couldn't be here in person, God, that you'd speak to their hearts this morning. We thank you that your word is alive and active, and it's going to be working in us deeply. We give this time to you. We dedicate it to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to turn to those around you. And I want you to answer this question. It's going to come up on the screen here. What is your favorite way to be communicated with? And if you're a grammar person, you're like, you ended with a preposition. I did, but just for this morning. So turn to your neighbor, take 30 seconds. What is your favorite way to be communicated with? Go ahead, 30 seconds. All right, here we go. How many of you honestly said, I love to receive a letter in the mail? That was your favorite way to be communicated. You didn't even think about that, maybe. Yeah, there we go. Got some letter people. How many of you said a good old-fashioned phone call? Call my landline. Give me a call. Jackson, for real? Right on, brother. I'm going to call you more. All right, how many of you said like some kind of digital communication, like hit me up on Snapchat, text me, slide into my DMs? Not very many people. Okay, cool. I'm at the stage of life, and I'm really comfortable sharing this with you. I told my wife, I'm like, I'm going to share something at church tomorrow that I've never shared publicly before. I'm at the stage of my life where I'm actually, my preferred method and mode of communication is actually sending long voice memos back and forth between other people about the same stage of life. Some people are like, oh, heck no, like that's not for me. But like, I'm like 3-4 minutes, boom, to my buddy, and then boom, I can get one later in the day. You're like, why not just a phone call? It's a good question. Okay, so I'm going to introduce our family to you this morning, our family. We love Zoe Church. We've been a part of Zoe for about 3 years. And before that, I was actually way long time ago was in a boy band with Pastor Greg. That's about all I'll say about that. But we love Zoe. We love being a part of what's happening here. The next one is a picture of our ministry. Pastor Jordan talked about Chi Alpha. And if you're like, what in the world is Chi Alpha? And I didn't know you led a fraternity. It is Greek, but it actually stands for Christ's Ambassadors, and we're a college campus ministry functioning on 274 university and college campuses around the United States. And we have the joy and the honor of serving these students here at the University of St. Thomas. And God is doing an incredible work on campus. It has been the last few years. This is our 10th year in Chi Alpha. But the last 3 to 4 years, specifically post-COVID, there has been a greater sense of awakening that I've ever seen before amongst the next generation. It's been really, really awesome. So thank you guys for being so generous. When you give above and beyond your tithe to Kingdom Builders, you're impacting students like this. And on behalf of them, I just want to say thank you, Zoe, for being an incredibly generous church. The final thing I want to share this morning before we jump back in, 30 for Freedom. If you're a person who's passionate about ending sex trafficking in our lifetime, this is one of the greatest passions of our heart, to end sex trafficking in our lifetime. That's what 30 for Freedom is about. We hold different running events all over. We're in several different states. We have 17 different locations, and we partner with Grandma's Marathon so that we can raise awareness about the issue of sex trafficking, and we can raise funds to make a difference. And over the last 9 years, by the grace of God and the generosity of his kingdom and his people, we've raised over $2.5 million to set people free in Jesus' name from sex trafficking. And man, we would love you to be a part of it on May 24th. So if you want to run or walk a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, or you're feeling ambitious and you want to do a full 30-mile ultra marathon, we'd love to invite you to be a part of that, Zoe Church. So we're going to go back to the scriptures here. And you might be thinking, Brent, why are we looking at the book of Acts here? And what is happening here when we read this text this morning? What's happening here is that Jesus has already come on the earth. He's already done his incredible ministry of about 3.5 years. He has taught his disciples how to be devoted to the Lord. And then he died on the criminal's cross. He died in our place. He took the punishment of the sins of humanity upon himself. He hung on a cross and died. And he was buried in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again to new life. And he appeared to over a period of 40 days to over 500 of his followers. And he was like showing them, hey, I'm here. This good news that I told you about, it's here. It's the fulfillment is here. And then he ascended to heaven and he told his disciples, he said, hey, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promised gift that the Father has promised you in the Old Testament. Go to Jerusalem and wait. So they went, and the believers were all together in the earlier part of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts, if you haven't read it, one of my favorite things to read in the whole world. I'm actually in it right now in my devotions. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And all of a sudden, when the Spirit of God came, there were these amazing signs and wonders that were accompanied. But the thing that happened at that very first day, the grand opening, the first day of the church in the New Testament, is that 3,000 men believed in Christ and were baptized. And those 3,000 men actually represent 3,000 households. And they were baptized and the church was born. And at the very end, as we jump into Acts chapter 2, 42 through 45, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Pastor Greg last week said, hey, let's be a church that's devoted to the word. I can't even lift it. Thumbs up for Jesus, but I can't lift the Bible. Okay, let's be a church that's devoted to the word. Pastor Greg, I love you. And to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. When they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, when they were devoted to fellowship and they were devoted to eating meals together, doing life together. I love that we launched life groups last week, Pastor Rob. It's an opportunity for us to do life together as the body of Christ. As we are doing these things and as we're devoted to these things and as we're devoted to prayer, what was the outcome of that for the New Testament church? Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers, now how many, we need this today more than ever. All the believers were together and had everything in common. There was unity. There was this beautiful thing, the synergy that took place in the early church. Let's go to that next one there. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. When I read this verse, I think of friends that I know that have like lake cabins. And if you contextualize this to 2025, it would be like hearing that there's a single mom in the church who just lost her job, and someone's like, hey, I got you. And they sold their lake cabin and their property, and they gave to someone who had need. That's kind of how I think about like the beauty of the generosity of the early church. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day the church was coming together. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And listen to this. This is my favorite outcome. And every single day, the Lord added to the number of those who were being saved. When we are a church who is devoted to the Lord, this is the kind of thing that can happen. Come on. This is what it looked like to be devoted to Jesus. And I want you to know that prayer was a priority in the New Testament church. Now, if you grew up in church and you went to Sunday school, I know I went to Sunday school back in the day. If you were called on by the teacher and didn't know the answer, what was the safest response? Jesus. Right? Jesus is always the answer, right? And I think about this, like, who is our greatest example and what, like, who is our greatest model for life? It's Jesus, right? It's the same as the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. And I want us to think about this. How did Jesus approach prayer? You ever thought about that? Like, if you look in the New Testament, I think it's like 37, 38, 39 times we see Jesus specifically getting away to pray. But what I want to do this morning is I want to take us through some different examples in Jesus' life. And then the second half of the message, what I'd love to do is I'd love to break prayer down in a really practical way that you can take with you for the rest of the 167 hours of your week, okay? So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at Jesus. He prayed early in the morning. How many early risers in the room? You're like, yes, let's go. I want to see that sunrise. You get up early. Jesus prayed early in the morning. In Mark chapter 1, it says very early in the morning, while it was still dark, in Minnesota, that's like noon, right? It's like in the winter. It's like, it's always dark. But over here, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. Jesus was putting a priority on his relationship with the Father. He was getting away before everyone else was awake. He was going to that solitary place to be with the Father and pray. How many of you in the room would say you feel like you have more things to do than you have hours in the day to do them? You feel busy, you feel maxed out. There's a lot of, only a few of us. Oh, there we go, there's the hands. Okay, I'm with you on that. Even when Jesus was incredibly busy and there were literally crowds of people, if you're a young parent, sometimes it feels like when your kids wake up, like there's crowds of kids coming to find mom, mom, mom. Right, it's the most common thing I hear in my house. Mom, mom, where are you? There's the crowds of kids coming for me. But literally Jesus had actual crowds, like hundreds and sometimes thousands of people who were looking for him because he was the healer. He was the way maker. He was the miracle worker. He was the one that can literally look at the person who was possessed by a demon. He could speak to that demon to get out, and this person was free. So crowds of people were looking for Jesus. Even when Jesus was incredibly busy, he would withdraw to solitary places to pray. Luke chapter 5. It says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But often Jesus withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If I can be really honest, church, this morning, you're like, hopefully you always are. True. Sometimes when we're really, really busy, it can be really hard to prioritize prayer. Right? Here is our greatest example, Jesus doing just that. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. I don't know how about if you were living in the New Testament and here is Jesus and you're one of the 12 and you see John the Baptist teaching his disciples how to pray, but you're like, there's something different about when Jesus prays. Wouldn't you just want to know? If you look here in Luke chapter 11, it says one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, I'm guessing it was Peter, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus goes on to give them a framework for what does prayer look like. Like, they wanted so badly to learn the framework about how Jesus prayed. Many of us in the room, probably in the next season of our life, have a major decision that we need to make. If you're in high school, if you're one of the upperclassmen in high school, the most common question you'll get, the older you get, the closer you get to graduation is, hey, what's your plans for when you graduate? What college are you going to go to? Are you going to go to college? Are you going to go to trade school? What's your plan? Are you going to be in the military? And you get bombarded with well-intentioned questions about your future. So you have some big decisions to make. You might be in the room and you're a business owner. You might be in this time of like, okay, do we acquire here? Do we sell? Do we hire? Like, what do we do for our business? You might have some major decisions to make as a business owner. You might be here and, man, you got some stuff happening right now in family, and you have to make some hard decisions, and you're like, God, I need your wisdom. I can't do this on my own. I need your help, and you're seeking all of heaven to try to find out what you should do. Before Jesus made some of the most important decisions, you can guess what he did, right? He would go off, and he would pray. In Luke chapter 6, we see this. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12, whom he designated apostles. Before Jesus chose the 12, he spent an entire night praying to God the Father. Two more examples from the life of Jesus. Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. Jesus prayed before he went. He knew he was going to have to endure horrific suffering. And here he is, taking his inner three disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, hey, I'm going to go pray over there. Stay here and wait. And Jesus goes off into the garden, and he has this prayer time with the Father. And he gets to a point where he just says, if there's any way that this can happen, if there's any way you can take this cup from me, but it, not my will, but yours be done. Then he's arrested, he's flogged, he goes through this horrific, execution. And while Jesus was literally hanging on the cross, church, understand this, he was dying, he was about to give his final breath. And as he's hanging on the cross, our greatest example, Jesus, is literally talking to the Father. He says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. His entire life and his entire ministry, well, you could see the priority of prayer in the life and the ministry of Jesus. It was such a priority. So if prayer was a priority for Jesus, our greatest example, and if prayer then became this incredible thing that was a priority for the early church in the New Testament, I want to give you the big so what this morning. If you're like, what does that mean? If you have been asleep this entire morning, you're like, you wake up, you're like, oh, what's the point of this whole message? It's called the big so what. We do this every week. The big so what is that if prayer must be a priority in our lives, if we are following Jesus, if we want to be devoted to Jesus, then prayer has to be a priority. You might be like, Brent, I don't actually know how to pray. There are three really common prayer barriers, and I want to just go there for a minute, and I want to speak to each of these prayer barriers. The first one is, I don't actually know how to do that. Like, I love the idea of that. I love the idea of connecting with God, but it's kind of mystical. It's kind of like, well, what do I say? Do I just, like, talk to him in my head? Do I say it out loud? What do I do? The next one is, I'm too busy. Brent, you have no idea. I'm working three jobs. I'm trying to put food on the table. I'm doing all these different things. I love the idea of growing closer to God, but how am I supposed to fit more stuff into my already overpacked schedule? And the last one is this. People who've had bad experiences with unanswered prayers. And I want to take a minute to just speak to each of those, if I could. So the first one is, I don't know how to pray. One of the things I love about how we do ministry at Zoe is we want to give you practical handles to grab onto things. Even if you have your thumb like this, you can still grab onto those practical handles, okay? So you can try out our 21 days of prayer. I love that we have these available in the back. We have these prayer guides available. You could actually scan this QR code, and you could download this so you can have it with you. But we give people an opportunity to literally just have a guide that will guide you through how you can pray for the next 21 days. And if you're already started it, when we started, I think there's like 6 days left, but you understand that you can join it at any point. The second thing when it comes to not knowing how to pray, think about the way that you feel like you love to connect with people. You answered it earlier in the message. For some, you love to write. If you love to write, this is what my wife does every morning. She loves to like go over to the fireplace, she gets her Bible and her journal, she reads the Bible, and then she begins to write out her prayers, her conversations with God. She loves that. That is life to her. And if that's for you, if you're like, I love to write, I love to do that, great. Journal your prayers to God. What a cool record that you have of your conversations with God, ways that he showed up, ways that he answered things, right? For me, I'm an out loud talker, if you didn't know. I love it. I could be in the car. I could be like walking around, like wherever I go, like I could be in my office. Like I love just to talk to God and just like to be able to have a conversation like this. So if you don't know how to pray, really practically, you can set aside some time, like just start with like 5 or 10 minutes. If you can possibly put your phone in either do not disturb or airplane mode, even better. But if you can have a distraction-free environment, begin to communicate with God. Begin to talk to him. You might feel awkward at first. Maybe you have a lunch break and you could go out to your car for like 5 or 10 minutes. You just sit there in your car, turn it on since it's so cold these days, and you could literally just say, God, I'm here, and I'm wanting more of you. I'm wanting to grow closer to you. I want to hear your voice. It's awkward, God, because I'm talking to what it feels like an empty car, but I want to hear your voice. I promise you, the more that you develop that rhythm in your life, the more that your life in prayer will grow, in your life in Christ. I'm too busy. Brent, you don't even know how busy I am. You're right. I actually don't know how busy you are, but I just want to open my life up to you for a minute to share with you how busy I feel sometimes. Serving a ministry like Chi Alpha at the University of St. Thomas, one of the greatest joys of my life. It's a lot. There's a lot going on all the time. 30 for Freedom, leading a movement, trying to raise $1 million in 2025 to set people free. There's a lot of things happening. Having four kids, four awesome young kids, right? There's a lot happening with kids. My wife runs, you know, she's a counselor, professional counselor, so she has her own practice. We homeschool all four of our kids. And I'm currently training for a race that will take place on all seven continents within a week, and it'll be a marathon on each one. We're trying to raise $1 million for freedom. So I'm training. And so they're literally, there's so much going on in life that I'm like, man, I'm too busy. I feel you on that. I feel you that you're busy. The only way that things happen in my world is if it gets on my calendar. I happen to use an electronic calendar, maybe use a paper one. Either way, either one's great. If something actually is a priority, it should make it onto your calendar so that it's a non-negotiable in your life. So if you're too busy for prayer, it's so dorky. Mine literally says, time with the king. Meet with the king, 8 a.m. every morning. That's what it says. You're like, it's like a pastoral kind of a thing to say. But like, hey, it's got to be on the calendar for me. So if you're like too busy, carve out 5 to 10 minutes as a starting point, put it on your calendar, and make it a non-negotiable in your schedule. It will change your life. And there's been two different research studies. This is way too much, but there's been two different research studies for those who are like scientifically minded. One of them said 12 minutes a day. The other one said 18 minutes a day. So take your pick, and both of these experts are really smart. But they said if you pray, focus prayer, 12 to 18 minutes a day, every day for 8 weeks, it actually impacts you so much that you can see the difference on a brain scan. It literally impacts how your physiologically impacts your brain. So put it in your calendar. This next one, this last objection or prayer barrier, is bad experiences with unanswered prayer. And I want to just take a moment to just speak pastorally to this exact thing. Many of you know my parents struggled with their health for many years. 15 years for my dad with cancer, on and off, different types of cancer. And we prayed for him so hard and fasted, and God, would you come and intervene? Would you deliver him from these things? And when he passed 2 years ago, you know, that's hard. It's hard to lose someone you love. He is my hero, you know? And I understand, I can relate to those who maybe you've been praying for someone, or you've been praying for something, and it just hasn't happened how you thought or how you hoped. I just want you to know that isn't a reflection of like bad character on God's part. It's a lot of times a different expectation that we might have. I know praying for my mom for the last 16 years, for her to be delivered from cancer, and she's doing pretty good, not cancer-free, but it's these things that we sometimes go to like the Lord, and we're like, God, why didn't you come through this way? Why didn't you save our marriage? Why didn't you deliver that person from that disease or these types of things? And I just want you to know, God is so faithful and he's so good. Even when things feel like everything is falling apart, he is faithful. He loves you more than I could ever communicate. He's with you. He is Emmanuel. And you might be like, well, Brent, that doesn't change my circumstances. You're right, it doesn't. It doesn't necessarily change your circumstances. But I want us to help like reframe how we look at prayer. It's not, someone said this to me as early on in my following Jesus. They said, God is not a cosmic vending machine. And I was like, because I always approach prayer as a young believer as like, okay, God, if I give you this time, then you're going to give me that answer, right? I'm going to pray for a job, and Lord, you're going to provide that job. Like I thought it was this vending machine, this transactional thing. But the longer I follow Jesus, the more I realize it's actually not God's not a cosmic vending machine. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He is the Lord above all. And we have an opportunity to literally commune with him. We have an opportunity to have a relationship with him. So when I reframed prayer as this cosmic vending machine to, oh, wait, I get to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I have access to him sitting in my car, driving to work? Are you serious? When there's a need that's presented, I can literally just call down heaven and talk to God? That changes everything. And so I just wanted to help us to reframe the bad experiences is that we get to commune with the King of Kings. So just to go back to just the three things, right? Schedule your time with God, reframe your purpose of your prayer as time to connect with him. And I wanted to share just a few more practical things today. And you don't have to raise your hand for these, okay? But I think sometimes we hear of needs. We hear of someone who lost a job. We hear of someone who's in the hospital. We hear these things. And sometimes it can be so easy in our fast-paced society to be like, oh, man, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you, sister. It's like, oh, thank you. And that's nice. Hey, brother, I'll be praying for that. I'll be praying for you this week. That's really cool. I'm glad. Can I just tell you, though? The first birthday I had after my dad passed away. It was actually a Sunday. I was sitting in this section in the back. And you know what? Someone came up to me. I don't know who it was. I was so heavy-hearted that day missing my dad. And someone came back and they said, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you today. I was like, all right, yeah. And this amazing lady put her hand on my shoulder and she just prayed things that she could never have known. And I was ministered to deeply because it wasn't like a, hey, brother, I'll pray for you. It's like, hey, brother, may I pray for you, right? And so one of the practical things I would just challenge us as a church, let's be an on-the-spot prayer, okay? When we hear needs, like what if we just said, hey, can I pray for that? I'll say this, about four times, it looks like I'm holding up five, it's four. Four times in my life, I've been turned down as I've asked to pray for somebody. Oh, no thanks, I'm good. It's all good, just keep going. Because if we can be that kind of church and be devoted to prayer in that way, that changes things. Here's the one, coming for prayer at the end of services. We have a group of people that meet every single Sunday morning before services to pray, and then we have people who are ready at the end of services to pray. And I don't know about you, but here's the thing. I'm going to just be really transparent with you guys this week. This week, Henry, my son, hit his head on the fireplace and had to get 5 stitches at Children's. We were in Children's ER for like 6 hours on last Saturday. We had another major potential health scare in our family. My father-in-law was in the hospital because he had blood clots all over his body. And he had to get some stuff removed, some stents removed. Then last night, your boy sliced my thumb open. And I remember holding my thumb last night, looking at my wife. I'm like, I believe God is going to do something massive this week. Like, come on. Like, what is it? There's so much resistance. Like, what is happening? And we walk into church sometimes. And I don't know if you do this. I do this. Maybe it's like the pastor in me. But I'm like, hey, how you doing? Go, great. God bless you, brother. Like, we do this thing, right? And like, we know God's good all the time. But we can put on this facade, and sometimes it's like, man, what I need actually is to come up for prayer at the end of service. Like, God, have your way in my life. Have your way in us. What if we were the kind of church that said, hey, I know I got to go. I know that there's stuff happening on Sundays. What if we just said, God, I'm going to come. I'm going to come for prayer. Maybe you're like, you should join the prayer team. You're like, I love to pray for people. I don't know what it is for you. But what if we could be a church that just came forward? How about prayer in your small groups? What if every single, and maybe this already takes place, at the end of our small groups at St. Thomas, we pray for each other. We literally write down the prayer requests, and we have a catalog of what God has done over the semester. And it is so cool to hear an 18-year-old kid praying for the needs of his 18-year-old buddy at the table. My challenge would be to be taking some time and praying in your groups. Two more things. Creating prayer rhythms. I don't know how your family works or how it works in your household. One of the prayer rhythms in our house is when we get in the minivan, the first ride of the day is prayer. And this is what it looks like for the Silkies. We have 3-year-old, 6-year-old, 9-year-old, 12-year-old. I start the van, I back it up, and I'm like, all right, guys, we're going to pray. And we've been doing this long enough where everyone knows, like, hey, all right, we're going to pray. And so then I start to pray. And there are people and family members and people we know who have extenuating circumstances that we're going to be praying for every single morning, that first van ride. And so I pray and pour out my heart to God. Then Belle, our 12-year-old, she prays next. Then Clara knows it's her turn to pray. Then Henry, he knows it's his turn to pray. And sometimes we can get even little Josiah to come on in there, right? And it's the coolest thing because it's just a rhythm. The kids just know this. This is what we do. You're like, oh, that's great for you, Pastor Brent. That's awesome. But like, no, we just like started like, hey, guys, let's start this thing. And we just started somewhere. Create those rhythms. Maybe you have a lunch break. I know people that like they work on a construction site and they go to their truck with their like pale lunchbox and they literally, that's their time with God where they read the word and they pray every day. That's their rhythm. So whatever the rhythms are that are helpful for you, start putting those into your day. It will literally change your life. So just to put it on a screen, if you like to take pictures of slides, this is probably the one that has all the things. Put God time in your calendar. Be devoted to the Lord. Create those rhythms of prayer in your day. Be an on-the-spot prayer. Pray in your groups. Come for prayer on Sundays. And hold prayer times with others. I want to close by telling you the craziest, coolest testimony from this last semester. I was invited after a Chi Alpha worship service on a Wednesday night. One of my freshmen took out his phone. He goes, he looks at his phone. Have you ever happens to you? He looked at his phone. He looks at me and he goes, Pastor Brent, would you come to a dorm and pray? I was like, yes, like everything good? He goes, yeah, everything's good. So I'm not feeling confident about his response right now. I'm like, let's go. So we like literally hurry across, like there's people waiting to talk about after Chi Alpha. We hurry out of the room, we hurry across the quad, we get to this dorm. We get in the elevator, we get to the fifth floor, and it's a completely freshman guy's floor. And as we're walking down the hall, I'm like, man, what are we doing? Like, what's going on? I hope everyone's all right. And we get into this room, it looks kind of like this. And there's a few guys that are in the room, and I'm like, is this gonna be a prayer meeting, or am I like about to meet Jesus? Like, it felt like one of those like, oh, I don't know any of you guys. Cause then the guy whose dorm it was left. He's like, I'll go get him. And I was like, go get who? Right? And he comes back and he goes, they're coming. And I'm like, man, this is gonna be, Jesus, I'm gonna see you or meet you here somewhere. So he goes over to his area over here and he starts playing a worship song on his computer. He goes, hey guys, right now, this is a freshman. He goes, we're not gonna talk amongst ourselves right now. We're gonna listen to the words of this song. And if God puts it on your heart to pray, then please pray aloud. So he plays the song Holy Forever by Chris Tomlin. And he begins to pray. And then this guy begins to pray. And then this guy begins to pray. And then this guy begins to pray. And I can hear people are coming into the room. And I'm like, what is happening? So we get done praying. And I at the very end, I pray. And I open my eyes, church. This is what it looks like to be devoted to the Lord in prayer. The entire dorm was packed full of guys, freshman guys. So much so that they went through the threshold of the door and they were out in the hallway. The only way I knew they were in the hallway is that after we were done, they were popping their heads and like, hey, we're out here too. I was like, let's go. That's what it looks like to be devoted to prayer. And here's the thing. When I've shared that testimony, people have said, that sounds a lot like the New Testament church. That sounds like Acts 2, 42 through 47. What would happen if we were those kind of people that said, God, I'm going to be devoted to prayer. I'm going to be devoted to you this year in prayer like never before. What if it made it in your calendar? What if it made it into your rhythms? What if it was just something that you're like, hey, I'm going to pray on the spot when I hear for a need. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to invite all those who are able to stand as we close. It would be a shame if we had a message about prayer and didn't pray. So I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. And as we close this service, I would love to invite those forward who would say, hey, I'm gonna devote myself to prayer in 2025. You come and stand at the altar. You could come and pray with a prayer team member. You could get on your knees at the altar, but you can have this declaration saying, hey, I'm going to actually prioritize prayer and become a person devoted to Jesus in a greater way. So I'd love to pray for us this morning and then invite you to respond. Jesus, we are so thankful for your example of what it meant to live a life that had a priority of prayer. And that the early church, they prioritized to being devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to being together, and they were devoted to prayer. And so I pray, God, that we could be devoted to prayer, that we could grow closer to you and become more like you, God, than ever before because of our connectedness with our Heavenly Father. And so, God, as we respond to you this morning, as Zoe Church, I pray that we would be people that would absolutely be devoted to you. And I pray that you would be glorified. God, I pray that you would come and do a dynamic work in our lives as we respond to you this morning in faith. So God, we come right now and we say, have your way in Jesus' name.